Welcome back to All the Buzz. We are here with Kat Jamieson, who is the founder of the blog With Love From Kat. And I'm so excited to have her because I feel like she was one of the OG bloggers. And now she has her own line of clothing. I'm wearing one of her dresses today. And the line is called Everyone Loves the Weekend. And you know that there's no one who probably loves the weekend as much as I do because that's spotlight time. So let's get into the conversation with Kat. Hi, hey, Kat.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. I feel like this is a full circle moment because we're not in the Hamptons, obviously. Right now we're in our studio in New York City.
I feel like we are.
Exactly, with the clothing. But you and I actually first met on a bus to the Hamptons. Yes. Do you remember that?
Yes, C-Wonder.
C-Wonder, R.I.P., yes. Chris Burch. He was married to Tory Burch, the iconic brand.
Beautiful home in Southampton.
We were at his home, drop dead gorgeous. Fabulous. What a fun day.
I know. That was so iconic that he invited us into his home. We all these influencers, it was probably 40 of us. We took a bus out to the Hamptons and had this lunch and rosé all day.
Went to the store. What year do you think that was?
Honestly, I think it was like 2014.
Are you serious?
It's been 10 years since
that
we've known each other.
That means that I was an intern at the time. I would have been 20.
Oh my gosh.
I was interning at the Daily Front Row and I was there to cover it.
You've always carried yourself so maturely, so...
That's very sweet. I feel like that must be why I feel like it's literally 50 now that I'm 30. But what a time that was. I feel like obviously 10 years ago, so that's 2014.
Yeah.
Blogging was Inception. Really at its like height, right?
Totally.
How did you get into the blogosphere?
It's crazy to think back because social media really kind of came about, I would say, in like 2011, 2012. And at the time, I was really just like a fresh out of college grad student. I had gone to school for interior design. I didn't want to become an interior designer, and I needed a creative outlet. And I was like, let me start this website just for fun, just for myself. And I really used it to talk about everything I loved, fashion, interior design, travel. Moved to New York City. I put it on my resume. I ended up getting this job I wasn't qualified for because of the blog. Mm-hmm. Which is really crazy, but I just said, look, this is kind of my portfolio. It shows how I'm a creative person.
Yeah.
Take a chance on me. And that's how I started working in the fashion industry.
And what was that job?
So it was doing social media and PR for a jewelry company in the garment district. And it's funny because that wasn't even really a job back then. And she kind of created this role and said, can you do a little bit of everything for us? So I did sales as well. I did trunk shows, a little bit of everything. And that's really how I got my start.
And where did you go to college?
I went to Arizona State University. I grew up in Arizona, really big school. I think it's like 70,000 people now, which is crazy.
You didn't want to move to LA?
I moved to LA, funny enough, like 6 years after that. So that was a fun period. But New York City, I had my heart set on making it in the fashion industry here.
Are you, you know, I feel like a lot of women who I speak with who aren't from here, they like obviously envision Carrie Bradshaw.
Yes.
And love that Sex and the City dream. Was that you at all?
100%. Okay. You know, I grew up watching The City, The Hills. Like all those shows really inspired me.
Yeah.
And that was my dream, truly, to be a Carrie Bradshaw. And I ended up, I feel, achieving that dream. Like I got a place in the West Village and I was writing my blog and staring out my window. And I was like, wow, this really feels like a Carrie Bradshaw moment.
It does. But you, now that you're saying like Whitney Poor and LC, I could totally see you being friends with them. Like I feel like you're their dream pal.
Thank you.
That is very cool. Okay, so you come to New York. This is where you like want to be at, you know, the time. When you launched the blog, and people are going to like laugh that I even probably remember this. Like, did you launch on WordPress? Were you on what's it called? Blogger?
Yeah, Blogspot or something like that. But maybe it was Blogger.
No,
I can't even remember.
Right. Yeah.
And then you had this thing on the side that was like Google Connect. It was like your friend count. Very old school.
So what'd you use? Which one?
I used Blogspot.
You did use Blogspot. So there's something about the women and men who launched on Blogspot that got a real following very quickly. Did you find that it happened fast for you?
I feel like the first year only my mom and sister were reading it and like maybe some of their friends. And then after I started to really utilize Pinterest, because Pinterest had just come out, and I would pin the photos I was taking on my blog to Pinterest, that really helped cross promote. And then, of course, sharing to Facebook and Twitter. I really utilized all of these platforms to help grow. Yeah, so I really took advantage of all the platforms, and I would share my blog post photos to Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook, even Lookbook. I don't know if you remember Lookbook.new.
Yes.
So old school. And then there was that Blogleaven. That was a feed for all of the blogs. So that helped me grow as well. I really did everything I could. I'm a very resourceful person.
Clearly.
I did everything I could to kind of get my name out there and get my blog out there.
And do you feel like it was easier to garner a following on the blog versus on like Instagram? Or did you feel that just naturally kind of, you know, pushed
went hand
that
in
way?
Hand. Yeah. I think they did go hand in hand. The blog came first, and then Instagram wasn't even around at the time. I think it came out 2 to 3 years after.
Yeah.
So people were very invested in blogs. They were commenting. They were commenting within each other's comments. I mean, it was this community. And then when Instagram came, it really changed things. And less people started commenting on the blog, less people started reading blogs. So everything migrated to Instagram.
When I think about like who are the women who came up with you, and I want to hear like what your perspective is. But when I think of it, I think of JC Dupree from Damsel in Dior. I think of... you'll remember her name, Julia something, Lemons, Life Gives You Lemons. What was that called? You know, she was also on our trip together, Julia.
Lemon Stripes.
Lemon Stripes.
Javik, yes. I love her. Yes. She's out in Connecticut with me.
Is she?
Yes.
Oh, that's so cute. Who else can I think of who I really feel was part, like Cupcakes and Cashmere?
Yes.
Emily Schumann. Like who comes to your mind? Who is your community?
Definitely Emily Schumann. She was one of the OG, you know, paved the way.
Yeah.
I remember seeing her on the Hills and being like, wow, this is so neat. Because she's a few years ahead of us. Yeah, she was a Teen Vogue intern.
Right.
Isn't that crazy? I think she was like in the background or something.
Right.
So she really paved the way. And then I don't know if you remember Fashion Toast.
Yes, Rumi. What happened to her?
She started a clothing line, actually, and got into modeling. She's still out in LA. So I really looked to Rumi Neely from Fashion Toast because there weren't a lot of girls that looked like me being half Asian. And, you know, the media, it was very selective of who they featured on a magazine cover. And I think it's cool that she created her blog and created her own opportunities as a model. And I really looked up to that.
Yeah. How would you say the industry has changed? Because I feel like it happened very quickly. We went from everyone opening their browsers and reading blogs to like not.
Yeah.
Would you say that's...
Yeah.
How did you deal with that shift?
It happened, I would say, slowly over time. In the last 3-4 years, I would say I noticed it even more, where blogs are just kind of, I don't want to say dead, but...
Yeah.
They just weren't providing as much instant gratification and value as on your phone. So, you know, with Instagram stories coming about, people want in the moment, not as curated. And that's really what Instagram provides. And we're on our phones scrolling. They just want that, you know, in your pocket content versus logging onto a desktop computer.
Yeah.
I still appreciate websites and beautiful editorial photos, but I know how busy people are, and I know that they really want incredible content right on their phone.
Exactly.
So I shifted to doing mostly Instagram.
And are you planning your content? Are you, you know, just saying, hey, this is a beautiful picture today. I'm going to take this and post it. How curated are you?
I wish I could say I was better about planning my content.
You're not, really.
But I'm not. I'm actually a true creative. I'm very organized, type A, older child. However, when it comes to just being creative, I don't want to be stuck in a box.
Right.
And I want to be able just to have everything come together. Even like my outfit today. Technically, I probably should have planned it the night before, but I was like, I know it'll come to me this morning, putting it all together and all the elements, and it did. So sometimes I think creatives were procrastinators, and we kind of thrive being last minute. Are you like that too?
I am. I definitely thrive under pressure. Yes. And like, I mean, I think like Alex, who helps me with my styling, I think she thinks I'm crazy because I didn't want to even look at the outfits until this morning. Like, I just... I can't. And when you're juggling so many different things, and for me, I'm running a business, I do the podcast, I still do TV, and we have all these things happening within a few days of each other. Like, my brain really needs to just be in the moment and go one at a time. And I think I've learned that about myself as I've gotten older, that like, it's okay to be a little more spontaneous and just see how things feel 100%. In the moment. So yeah, I'm definitely like that for sure. So in terms of branding, I feel like you have such a clear aesthetic about you. Like, how do you describe the With Love Kat brand and also just your style?
It's funny. I'm very anti-trends. That would be kind of the first thing I would say about myself, is that I'm classic. I'm classic. I'm feminine. I do love a few bohemian elements. Like, I love the necklace you're wearing and the way you styled the Positano dress.
Shout out, Alex.
Yay. It's so good. I think that it's fun to mix, and you don't have to just be a total prep or totally edgy or bohemian. It's mixing all the different elements together is really fun. But I stay away from trends because I've just always believed in, you know, quality over quantity.
I think that's really important. I think as I've also, I don't know if it's a married thing or what, or just like, I don't know, New York apartments, but I look at my closet and I'm like, okay, like, I have some really beautiful, colorful, loud cha-cha pieces. Am I ever going to really wear these now in a post-COVID world where my life isn't about like just going out every night? I don't think so. Yeah. And I really feel myself gravitating more towards neutrals. And I think having my clothing be simpler and then letting the accessories kind of be the fun.
Yes. Yes. You know? I love that. So. And it's fun to do like one fabulous piece for an event, but I always rewear my fabulous pieces somehow, like with a cardigan over it or with a little white button down tied around the waist. Like, there's ways to mix and match, you know.
Who's this cardigan by? It's so cute.
This is actually Amazon. Isn't that crazy?
Is it a button? Or?
No, it's just a little V-neck collared sweater. I like to mix and match high and low. I've always done that. And I think that's what people really connect and relate to me with my blog, because I'm not afraid to do it. H&M, RIP Topshop, but I used to love Topshop.
I know, same.
And
it's owned by Nordstrom. Like, it's still there. Oh. You go into Nordstrom here, there is a Topshop section.
Oh, good to know.
I don't think it's revived now. Okay. I think it's changed a little bit. I totally understand what you're saying about like the Amazon find, because my favorite sweaters are all from Old Navy, and I
Isn't
live
that
in
funny?
Them. Yeah, adorable. It's not about where you buy it. It's about what you choose, I think. Tell me about how you launched your very first clothing brand, Everyone Loves the Weeknd. So excited.
Yay. You look gorgeous in it, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm obsessed with the dress on you.
Thank you. I love it. It's so comfortable.
I really saw a need for women's classic midi style dresses. I love a midi style. I think it's such an elegant, flattering cut on literally every body type. And I saw a need for quality. So 100% linen, 100% cotton materials. That was really important to me.
Yeah.
And everything is under $300. Good. So that's another thing. The price point was huge. I was seeing a lot of dresses on some of my favorite retailers that had started to creep up to that $500, $600, $700 mark.
Scary.
It's gotten crazy. Now that, I know what goes into a brand, I do understand why they are charging what they're charging, because you're paying for so much more than just the item. You're paying for photography, PR, you know, models, e-commerce, web developers. It's a whole gamut. You get it, running your own business.
Yeah. The brand that really gets me, and it is one of my favorite brands, so this is like not negative at all, but Zimmerman was the brand that I always went to. Like, okay, $400, $300, still expensive, right? But like in the scheme of fashion for really good quality, like, I was okay with it. Now they move Zimmerman in all the department stores to like the couture floors where you can find like Oscar de la Renta and all these brands. And I'm like, if this is now what like a $1,500 dress is, like, I think like,
I completely agree. I'm an OG Zimmerman girl, and I have pieces from, you know, 8 years ago that I still love. But I agree, the price point kept creeping up. And I love a floral dress for every day. And I, you know, I like getting dressed up even in a casual moment. But I just, it is hard to justify spending $1,500 for like an afternoon summer barbecue dress.
Totally. And I'm going to give you like the secret of mine. So there is a outlet in Sawgrass, which is like right outside of Fort Lauderdale in Florida. And it is the best outlets. Like they have every brand from Bottega to Gucci, Prada, and Zimmerman. And so Zimmerman, everything is like over 50% off. And that's where I buy my Zimmerman.
Yeah. So smart. Yeah. And the outlet too.
And that's the outlet. Yep. I just bought something from the outlet the other day.
They have such good stuff.
They do. But going back to your collection, how many pieces are in your line?
It's 10 pieces. It's very small. We launched with the summer collection. We're doing 8 women's dresses and a men's pair of shorts and polo shirt. It's a terry cloth. And then a little girl's matching dress like a mommy and me dress. I love that. So I'm really proud of it. Everything is wearable, neutral, versatile. It's not going to go out of style. It'll be timeless, and we'll have these pieces season after season.
So exciting. Yeah. And everything's direct to consumer?
Yes, right now it is. And then I have an exciting call with a big retailer actually tomorrow. Oh. So we'll see. Maybe we'll get into doing wholesale and the retailer route. But it's nice to be able to offer direct to consumer, especially to my followers.
Yeah.
I love being able just to link to my own website and really have that creative control.
Yeah. I think, you know, for us and a lot of our listeners on this podcast, they're all trying to kind of like either start their own business or they want to, you know, learn about how to do it. So for those who are listening who want to start their own brand, like you're someone who's doing this today. You're not, you know, like some of our guests who have been in this business for, you know, 30 years. They've been fashion designers since the beginning. Like, how did you actually, what are the tangible steps you took?
Yep.
To make this brand happen.
First, the name. You want to register your domain name, find that domain name, get the Instagram handle, get the TikTok handle as soon as possible. That's such an important thing. And then file a trademark for that name and make sure it's available in your category, because a lot of people don't realize, like, there's so many brand names that are trademarked, they're copyrighted, you can't use. So that's the number one thing I would say. And then really looking at different designers. So you need what you call a tech designer. So while I am the creative designer, you need someone who's able to do all the technical CAD drawings and the measurements between an extra small, small, medium, large. So someone who has experience doing that.
Whoever you found has great experience.
Oh, good.
So well.
Because it's so important to knowing how to size up, size down, making sure that the extra small looks just as good as the extra large body. So that's really important. And then, I mean, I'm happy to give any advice if anyone wants to email me, or, you know, I want to always pay it forward. Yeah. I think that's so important. And what I did was I really reached out to my network and I said, hey, can I take you to coffee? Can I take you to dinner? And I asked them a whole gamut of questions. So really pooling your immediate network and friends of friends, because just ask a million questions and that's really how you're going to get from point A to B to C.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to, you know, look stupid and ask them.
Are you self-funded? Are you doing everything yourself?
Yes. Love completely it. Self-funded. And I've always been very, I think it's important to start like that. And we're very scrappy right now. It's literally me. My husband is the customer service.
I love that.
If you email us, it's him. Yeah. And, you know, he has a full-time job, but he completely devotes so much time to helping me, and he's always supportive of my dreams. I laugh. I say, if I said I want to fly to the moon, he would help me make it happen.
He'd be like Elon, let her on, or like he whoever. Really would. Is no. it Elon Musk or is it? It is him, right?
Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk.
All of them. Yeah.
No matter how crazy my dreams are, he supports me and helps me get there. And I think that's another thing, having a partner, you know, you have a wonderful husband, having a partner who supports you no matter what, it's the emotional Huge. Piece is really important.
It is. I want to talk more about that in a second. But before we get to your husband, who is adorable, they walk in, I'm like, this is like literally a celebrity couple, the two of you. I want to know about some of your brand partnerships before, you know, launching your brand. Because I think a lot of people who want to break out into the influencer space are like, okay, how am I actually going to make money? How am I actually going to be able to survive like this? There are, you know, a lot of influencers who I've seen who've had like some consistent brand partnerships. Like what were some of the brand partnerships that changed things and made this a business for you?
I always say thank you to Nordstrom, because they were one of the first companies, big companies, that worked with me within probably a year and a half of me starting my blog. I think what people don't realize is I actually didn't make any money within like the first year and a half, 2 years of starting my blog. I was really doing it in addition to my full-time job.
Right.
But Nordstrom took a chance on me and I started doing a lot of sponsored posts with them and converting really well for them, driving sales. And so they really believed in me. And then of course, Reward Style, which is now LTK.
Yep.
I always worked with their team. And that's been such a cool technology to really see, okay, what sales is Kat driving? What price point? What brands? Having that information is so valuable.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I've worked with everyone from, you know, Audi to Belvedere to Porsche to Grey Goose. I love doing, obviously, fashion is my bread and butter, but so many different amazing brands over the last years. And it's really made me appreciate having my own brand and given me such a respect for the brands I've worked with, because you see influencer marketing is the best way to drive sales and awareness to a brand.
How does someone figure out how much to charge for to brands like who are, you know, getting into the space? Yeah.
It's so funny. I look back and I think I charged like $500 for my first event back in the day because I really didn't know. I just guessed. And I think it's asking other influencer agencies. So, you know, maybe there's a couple agencies you want to be signed with, reach out to them, kind of say, look, this is my following, this is my conversion rate, what do you think? And I think even if you're not signed with them, a lot of them will provide insight, so that's nice. And then, of course, now with TikTok, I feel like the Gen Z audience is able to, they're not gatekeeping and they share so much. So I've noticed a lot of people sharing their rates on TikTok. So I'd say, look there.
Look there. I like that. Yeah. Do you have an agent?
I do. I managed myself for many, many years. Yeah. And that was great. I liked it. But then I felt like I was ready to take it to the next level. I signed with a big agency. Then over the years, I switched to another big agency. So, you know, you switch, you transition, you go to different agencies, managers that work for you. I think don't be afraid to really advocate for yourself, because these agencies, if it's a big one, they do manage so many people.
Yeah.
So you have to really be willing to put yourself in front of them constantly to remind them, hey, think of me for the partnership.
Right. Do you think it matters today as much how many followers you have? Because like I look and some of the girls who are getting the most attention to me on Instagram right now have like half the followers that I do, but their engagement is really high and they seem to have a lot of influence.
I think micro influencers are really valuable right now, and it's so cool that brands are seeing that and appreciating that. I think what the most important thing is community. Mm-hmm. So do you have a voice, and have you built an audience that's diehard and a community that's diehard? Because like you said, you could have 40,000 followers that are so obsessed with your every move and want to buy and do everything that you do, or you can have an audience with 80,000 and maybe they're from a long time ago and they're not that invested. So
it's true. Things change.
They do.
And what would you say is your number one tip for growth on social right now?
Oh, that's a good question.
Besides like having your niche, like being consistent,
gosh,
like the same stuff.
If someone says niche down, I'm like, okay, that's not specific. Well, I will say, look, it is very hard to grow on Instagram. I think that something that is actually hard for me as a creative to understand, wrap my head around, is that doing the same thing over and over again, like once you find that one thing that works, repeating it, rinse and repeat, is actually what's going to get you to grow on Instagram. So it's like an outfit reel. Maybe it's one a day. And I don't like to be put in a box as a creative. So that's hard for me to do. But that is how I've seen people grow.
I think that's actually a really smart point, because there's an influencer who I followed. It's Acquired Style.
Yes.
And I think she's like so adorable. Like I look at her and I'm like, you are just like so full of life, like similar to you, like happy. I'm also happy, but you're like, you have such like a positive way about you.
Thank you.
And she'll literally post how she makes her coffee, I swear to you, 3 times a week. Wow. And you want to know something? I don't even drink coffee, but I find it entertaining to watch her make her coffee. So you know what? What you're saying
routine.
Is true. Repetition is definitely part of
key.
It.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit now about obviously you and your personal life. You got married 3 years ago.
Yes.
You're always glowing, but you seem to
Thank
really
you.
Have like an extra
Thank
glow.
You.
He's so cute. Can we hear about him? Like, how did you meet him? I don't know if you say his name ever. Yes. We can leave it to him.
Yes.
How'd you meet?
He is the best. Thomas is his name. Cute. And he is such a good doobie. I feel like he's my best friend. I'm going to be cheesy here for a moment. You can cue the eye roll. But honestly, when you meet the right person, you become a better person. Like you say, you glow. And I went through a lot of guys that didn't make me glow and didn't make me the best version of myself. So it is amazing when you do meet that person, you fit.
Yeah.
And you guys together just grow and glow and, yeah, improve. And I feel like we met in the West Village at the happiest hour. Do you remember that bar? I don't drink, so I'm like the worst person to ask,
but maybe the girls know.
And it's funny because we hit it off. I thought he was amazing, but I was actually moving to Paris for the summer, like three days later. So I was ready for my whirlwind girls Euro trip. We were doing Ibiza, London, Paris. And so I just was in this single phase. I was 26, blew him off after that. I feel bad about that. But I was just dating so many guys at that time.
Popular. And
basically 4 years went by and I moved back to New York City. After Paris, after LA, I told you I'd moved to LA for a little bit.
Yeah.
I moved back to New York. I had this housewarming party and the friend that we had, this mutual friend that connected us, she came and said, look who moved back, and posted on Instagram stories. And he saw and he says, oh my gosh, that's the one that got away.
Wow.
Is she still single? And he reached out and we went on a date and that was it.
That's amazing.
So it's crazy how 4 years later, it's like I was ready to settle down.
So you were the one who got away, but then he got back.
Yes. And I give him a lot of credit for just getting back. You know, I would have said, oh, if someone didn't like me the first time, bye. Like, that, you know, if they were too busy for me, I would.
Yeah.
But I think he knew. He knew that, yeah, I was 26, I was traveling the world. I had my own company. I was trying to have. I was 26. I was traveling the world. I was start. You know, I had my own company. I was trying to have hot girl summer. Okay.
Yeah, I get it.
And I think he was like, okay, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, and it was. So it kind of does show, if something truly is meant for you, just let it come back, let it come full circle. And we naturally fell back into place and our lives lined up. And it's funny, he always says, he's like, I wouldn't have been ready to like be in a committed relationship at 28. So I'm glad we waited, had our fun, and then reconnected.
So you're 2 years apart.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
I never had that close of a distance with anybody. Just with anybody I dated. But that's good. You're in a similar place of life.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
And so he got you to move to the burbs.
He did. You know what's funny? I actually was the one that was like, I really like it here. Maybe we should buy a house out here in Connecticut. And he said, well, I grew up out here. I don't know. Let's move to Palm Beach. He really wanted to move to Palm Beach. So maybe eventually we will.
Yeah.
But we love Connecticut. Now I'm no longer a city girl.
The city's changed a lot. So I can totally just understand like how, you know, you could appreciate a little bit more of a different
greenery
life. Yeah, greenery.
You've got to come out.
I know. I spent a lot of time where you live in New Canaan. I know it very, very well.
Great people.
I love this story.
I want to know how you met your husband. Can you just tell us, please?
The short version of the long story, which like our viewers, I think, already kind of knows, that we met on Bumble. We met 2021. So COVID for me was still real. And I just had no interest in like getting serious with someone when I was living at home with my family. Like, wasn't gonna happen. And then so we just like walked in the park for months, and then we like kind of just broke apart. Like, I was kind of ready to then be a little more serious, and then he was like, I'm so crazy with work, like, this, if I'm gonna do this with you, like, I have to be 100% like ready, you know, for like what a commitment looks like. And I like went to Palm Beach for a few months, did my own thing, and then he like really was like, so when are you coming home? So a year later we went on our first dinner date because we only were walking in the park, and then we were inseparable ever since. Got engaged under 10 months later, moved in 6 months later. Then the got rest married. Is yeah, now we've been together, married, I guess, 3 months.
It yeah. really shows you that women being independent, it's such a turn on to men. And it's, I think it's just so important that we have our own path. I've always just believed in that, women doing their own thing. And then it makes the guy kind of chase you a little bit.
I agree. And I also just think that, like, you know, I think a lot of women assume, like, that you and this potential partner are going to both be ready at the same time. Like,
right.
there's such a big difference between dating and then marriage. Like, this is a real life commitment. Life gets lifey. Like, things aren't perfect. Like, yes. who's going to really be your teammate? And yes. I think that's just, you know, it's not for everybody. Like, you should expect for every date to not be the best, or for every guy you date to not be right until it's the one, I think.
Yes. And to the single ladies out there, because I realized I have a lot of followers that are single.
Yeah.
I did this funny story the other day for our brand with that finance TikTok song, yeah. which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And all these women were saying, what's your advice? What's your advice? And it's like, just go live your best life and yeah. you'll attract the right person. And also enjoy being single when you're single. I think it's really important to date a lot of different people before settling down.
I like that. Very good. And what does your husband do again? I feel like I missed
he
that part.
Is a consultant for Fortune 500 companies. Ooh, so smarty. He deals with all the big ones. Yes, always traveling. I feel like San Francisco is where he's always going
my
the most
too, every quarter.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. And he actually runs into some of my followers at these conferences. Oh, and things. Yeah,
they know
he does
him.
Yes, yes. He's hilarious. Recognizable.
My husband has that problem, but mainly when we're in the Hamptons or Palm Beach, like, they're looking at so me weird. I'm like, it's funny. Like they know you, and then they'll like say something. I'm like, the power of Instagram, you guys. Yes. But yours, I'm sure, is on a whole different scale. Kat, this was so fun. Your dresses
you
are also perfect
me.
For date
Thank
nights,
you.
Which is like, you know, awesome.
Yes.
And we can't wait to see what you do next. And where can Thank people buy
you.
Your brand?
Thank you. You can go to everyonelovestheweekend.com. And we'll do a special discount code or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Like Spotlight15 for 15%
Perfect.
Off.
We'll definitely
Yay.
Share that. Awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.